Well, good evening, LCM.
Good evening.
It's good to see y'all. Tonight is March 21st, 2024. And the title of tonight's sermon is Walk In It.
Come on, somebody say Walk In It.
Walk In It. Family, it's an exciting life that we live. Were you all blessed by the sermon that was preached on Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
This week we reflected on Samson's mistakes and the Lord's ability to lead Samson into the sweet presence of God. Come on, that's an incredible revelation. Did y'all know that before they told you?
No.
I certainly didn't. Thank you both, Pop. Thank you, Gabe. That's an incredible revelation. What they also did was teach us, and we reflected on the fact that Jacob experienced the death of his wife, but as a result of it, he received the promised son, not Ben-Oni, but Benjamin, the son of my right hand. Man, the Lord has been good to us. What an exciting life. Somebody say, what an exciting life.
What an exciting life.
Come on. My brother Gabriel and I have a word that, like he said, we've cried over, that the Lord has put inside of our own hearts. And so what we're going to share with you is out of the storeroom of our own experience and our own hearts and God's dealings with us. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Well, if the right and Reverend Gabriel Sutherland is ready, let's get started.
Come on. Is it all right if we speak to you guys tonight? This is a family meeting, and I am excited about tonight. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 12. Hey, somebody say, walk in it when you get there. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, my dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ.
Rejoice!
So that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Church, this has been a season where we are producing more fruit than we ever have. Do you guys see God's glory being revealed in one another? How everybody is growing and walking and filling in their stations and how we're supposed to be? With a greater amount of fruit comes a greater amount of hardship and persecution and suffering. Church, and our word to you tonight is to not be surprised because things are happening to you. Do not be surprised. Nothing strange or abnormal is happening in your life at this moment. You are exactly where God has called you to be today. We have much adversity and much trial, but also much of God's glory being revealed inside of us. Has anybody felt the weight that is being put on you? You're trying, you're fighting to produce fruit in everything that you do, and it's just hard. That is supposed to be there. That weight is supposed to be there, and that is what we're going to talk to you guys about this evening.
We're going to have a good time tonight. Y'all turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, and say, walk in it when you get there.
Walk in it.
Verse 7 says, endure hardship as discipline. Now, we're gonna dig into this a little bit. It speaks about this a little bit before this passage that we'll get to later on, but enduring hardship is discipline. Why would he say that unless the propensity of everybody in this room is when hardship comes inside of your life, you don't want to treat it as discipline.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's awful. Why? The very same is true for me, but we're going to work this out today. We're going to get this right. It says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons.
Come on.
For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, I'm looking at all of y'all. Then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Church, it was God's intention that you would go through hardship. Sutherland said just a little while ago that do not be surprised. You shouldn't be surprised because God will absolutely use it. If you see here, it says endure hardship. It doesn't differentiate between the hardship that is happening inside of your life is because it's your fault or somebody else's fault or the circumstance. It says endure hardship. It doesn't matter the reason for the hardship because what it is doing inside of each and every one of you is developing your identity as a son.
Come on, that's a good word, Timo.
You know, this couldn't be more true about my own life. And in the past year, the most impactful thing that ever happened to me most amazing moment in the last 12 months of my life, I got fired from my job. And it was absolutely my fault. It was because of my own character deficiencies and poor character. Has anyone been there before?
Yeah.
It's not fun. It's not fun at all. It doesn't feel good. It was painful. I had to come home and talk to my wife and tell her I lost my job.
Ouch.
And I'm not going to be able to make money for our house tomorrow. I had to come and tell my team, hey, I lost my job because I screwed up at work over a long period of time. I felt defeated. I felt defeated. I felt less than a man. And I walked around here with that kind of attitude around this church and spoke to several of you with a thought and a mentality that I was an illegitimate son. I walked through this inside of my life, and it was as painful as it was, but it wasn't just day one, and then I found a job, and everything was okay, or day two, or day three that caused me to feel defeated. It was day 70, and day 80, and day 90, walking through hardship, and walking through the difficulty of not having this one thing that felt pinnacle to my identity and who I was. Have any of you felt like this before?
I have.
That your failures and your mistakes inside of your life have caused you to be an illegitimate son?
I felt that before.
Well, church, what the Lord did inside of me, Proverbs 27 and verse 7 says, he who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter becomes sweet. The Lord caused this situation to happen inside of my life, not simply so that I would suffer or for the sake of hardship, but he did this so that I could become hungry.
Come on.
He stripped away these things that I thought were so important and integral to my identity so that he could use this bitter hardship inside of my life to produce something sweet.
Been there.
Church, that's identity.
Yeah.
That is sonship that is developed inside of a man when things are stripped away because of hardship.
It's a good word.
Church, you are not bastard sons.
Come on.
You are not illegitimate children. But the hardship that the Lord is causing to happen inside of your life, and I'm not talking about general hardship. Think about the hardship inside of your life, because what the Lord is doing with it is causing a son to rise up in each and every one of the men and women inside of this church.
Come on.
Come on, church. It does not matter why the hardship is there. It doesn't matter how it got there, because you're a son. Church, that is what we want to convey tonight. No matter what happens, whether it was your fault or whether it was somebody else's fault, whether it was the Lord or whether it was the enemy, it doesn't matter, because you are sons in this place. You are sons in this house, and we do not want you to lose your identity, not in any minute, not in any moment. Joe Barr, you are a son, always, no matter what. Steve, you are a son, always, no matter what. Nick, it doesn't matter why the hardship is there. God is working something inside of you.
That's right.
Church, we have been contemplating the enemies in our life and the enemies in y'all's lives. And as we were studying last night, we made a little bit of a hit list. When these things are appearing in your life, you know you are thinking like an illegitimate son, that it is not actually reality, and we're about to give you the answer, amen? So, number one, when I'm thinking like an illegitimate son, I shy away from intimacy from my father. Thoughts of, I can't seek him because I haven't been seeking him like I should have. So I'm not going to just hop back into this and pretend like everything's okay.
That's just you, Gabe. I think it's just you. No, it's all of us.
I'm not seeking the Lord like I see this brother seeking the Lord, so it kind of just makes me feel like an illegitimate son. Item number one on the hit list. The second one is when we fail to obey because we're predicting imminent failure. I failed before, so I'm not going to try it again this time. I've tried and I've failed, so this time I'm going to fail to try. Illegitimate thinking. All my efforts are pointless and won't amount to anything. I'm struggling. I'm fighting. I'm giving it everything that I've got, but I don't think it'll produce what it should. illegitimate thinking. God has called you to be a son. Number three on the hit list is being dissatisfied with the place that God has put you. Think about how grateful Mephibosheth was. He was being brought in. He was brought into the house. He was once far away without hope and without God, and he brought him in and put him at the table. And he was grateful. Church, when we are dissatisfied with the lot that God has given us, we have deviant, insatiable longings that never get fulfilled. We fail over and over and over again because we're trying to grab something that God had not given us. When he's already given us the kingdom, he's already given us a seat at the table, he's already covered our lame legs, to where everything that is visible about us is the fact that we're sitting at the king's table. Church, we cannot try to serve two masters in here. We can't serve our comfort, and we can't serve our comfort and also the Lord at the same time. It's item number three on our hit list. Item number four is a fear of sudden or unforeseen disaster. Wow. Everything seems to be all right right now. Right now. And I'm really hoping nothing blows up like it felt like it did last time.
Makes you walk on eggshells everywhere that you go. Maybe there's going to be trouble. Let me just not engage with anything.
And that looks like, you know, what's the Lord been doing in you? Well, I think he's doing this, but, you know, we'll see. This is what I feel like the Lord has called me to do, but I'm going to leave room for a little bit of doubt just in case I got it wrong.
Try this one. Hey, brother, how are you? I'm good. That's it. I'm good.
Church, these things on our list are things that we've wrestled with. The men putting together this word last night, we were working through things. What does it look like in us when we are walking in that illegitimate identity? We have a lack of intimacy. We fail to obey because we are predicting imminent failure. We're dissatisfied with the spot and lot that God has given us, and it causes division in our mission. And we have a fear of sudden or unforeseen disaster. Church, let's go to Hebrews 12 as we load up with ammunition and take out these things on our hit list.
Say, walk in it when you get there.
Walk in it.
Church, both of these things are true at the same time. You are a son of God. And as we're going through this tonight, what I want you to remember every time is that you are a son of God. The only issue is that there are other things that are attached to that right now. Illegitimate thinking that is also there. What we're going to talk about now is how to strip those things away from your life.
Come on.
Verse 26 says, at that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Once more, I will not shake only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. The shaking away of things that cannot be shaken is absolutely paramount. What remains? Well, what remains is the sweet honey of the presence of God. That is found inside of a lion carcass.
Come on.
What remains inside of you once those things are taken away is your true identity as a son that you were always meant to walk in. It's the mezuzah that God gave you that may be in the closet right now. It's the 12 I am statements about who you are in Christ Jesus. It's the Abigails that you are when you're walking in the spirit of holiness. Church, this unshakable identity was always there. When the Lord saved you, when he created and transformed you, those things were there. It's just that certain things need to be removed, and tonight those things are going to be removed inside of each and every one of you.
Church, we want to connect some things up until this point. Number one, don't be surprised by trials and hardship as though something strange were happening to you. You're right where you're supposed to be.
It's normal.
Number two, God is disciplining you as a son. That discipline looks like and feels like a shaking. It looks and feels like a shaking because it is, and it shakes away everything that's not supposed to be there so that you become the son that you're always meant to be. Actually, more so the son that you are. It's more revealed. More stuff is moved out of the way so that who you actually are can be seen. Church, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken.
Amen.
Do not hide or be ashamed of your hardships. Do not hide or be ashamed of your hardships because it is the Lord shaking away everything that can be shaken. Treat it like refuse. Treat it like the dross that it is, like the dregs that it is, because that's not you. Let your brothers in on your struggles.
Come on.
That is a great way to act like a son. That is a great way to display faith and confidence in the Most High. How are you doing? I'm going through this. This is what the Lord is working out of me, and I'm confident that he's going to carry it through because I'm a son. Church, hardship is a gift from our Father to secure us in our sonship. Hardship cuts out what must not remain in his sons. Hardship cuts away what must not remain in you.
Man, that's good.
Church, I want you to say this with me. I am validated in my sonship.
I am validated in my sonship.
Through my hardship.
Through my hardship.
Let's read Deuteronomy 20, starting in verse 1. Somebody say, walk in it when you get there.
Walk in it.
Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. It says, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them because the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt will be with you. Church, this is not an if, this is a when. Do not be surprised that hardship is in your path.
It's going to happen.
Hardship is a gift from God. You will always, and I mean always, go up against things harder than you. Or else, where's the testimony for the Lord? It's like they preached on Sunday. That didn't hurt. Well, it's not much of endurance if it doesn't hurt. It's not much of a victory if the army is smaller than you. Church, the problems that you are walking through that feel bigger than you, it is a promise and gift from the Lord. Because it causes you to rely on your Father, to rely on the one who brought you up out of Egypt. Remember the first time you stood in the Lord's presence. You were in the muck, in the mire, hopeless, and without God. And then he did something in your life. Because when you face things bigger than you, God wanted to show you his mighty right hand. Church, do you think it's any different now? You're better off now than you were then. The Lord has shaken away more things now than he did then. Church, let nothing deter you from a confident, bold warfare in sonship. I'm reminded of 2 Chronicles 14. We're not going to go there. But it says, then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there was no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Has anybody felt powerless this past week? Has anybody felt powerless in this past month as you're trying to produce more fruit? You're just realizing, like, God, I don't have it. God, I wish that didn't pop up. I wish that didn't rise up out of me. There is no one like the Lord to help the powerless against the mighty. He is the God who fights for you. So walk in it.
Isn't that so beautiful? The fact that in our hardship, what the Lord does is reveal our identity as a son. Well, what also happens is that in our hardship, the Lord shows himself and reveals himself to be the Father who helps us, the Father who fights for us. Y'all turn to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5.
Come on, somebody say, walk in it as you're turning.
Walk in it. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work. Y'all say that with me. Perseverance must finish its work. It must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Church, the hardship that we encounter is not a one-hit it and quit it. You are going to do this over and over and over again. It's going to happen inside of your life several times. And also, we do not get to choose how long it takes. Perseverance must finish its work. How long? Until it's done. Until God develops inside of you what he wants to. Have y'all ever found yourselves trying to bargain with God for the amount of time that it's taking for this perseverance to happen? Lord, did you not see all this suffering? It's been a lot. It's a lot of suffering.
I think I got the point now. I am mature.
I've said that to my own father as a child before, and I do the same thing to God. We all do, but that cannot be our practice. Because perseverance must finish its work inside of us so that we can become mature, complete sons that are able to be obedient to the Lord and do exactly what he has called us to do.
Come on, you guys are sons. Do you want to be mature sons?
Yeah.
Do you want to be men who are defined by endurance?
Yeah.
Well, you're put in the perfect season right now, every one of you, to work in that. Tima, what's the best way to gain endurance?
To endure.
You just got to endure it. There's no other way to gain endurance.
Just got to do it. Got to walk in it.
There's no other way to gain perseverance except by having to persevere. And church, the Lord is making us into a body who can persevere. That is beautiful. That is amazing. He is disciplining us as his sons because he loves us.
Man, that's beautiful.
Speaking of mature sons, let's turn to Mark 14. Somebody say, walk in it when you get there. And we're going to wait a second.
We want everyone to be able to read this passage with us in your own Bibles.
Well, walk in it when you get there. Mark 14, we're going to start in verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He said to them, "Stay here and keep watch." Okay, so we've heard this verse a lot. Walk, put yourself in Jesus' shoes here. He knows he has to be obedient. He knows who he's called to be. But he's got something that will literally cause him to die. Jesus, the man, was emotionally pressed by these trials. It says his soul was overwhelmed. That's something that stuck out to me. I never see Jesus overwhelmed in the scripture, except for right here. When you guys feel overwhelmed, remember that Jesus felt overwhelmed as well. That he knows your struggle, church. That he is not unable to sympathize with your weakness. He is the God who created the heavens and the earth. And he sets the boundaries for the seas, and he keeps lightning in a storehouse, and he also has counted the hairs on your head. He is a mighty God, and he is a God who is very close to you, sons of the Most High. Verse 35, he says, going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed. Like Daniel, his strength was just done.
I've done that.
He fell to the ground and prayed that if it possible, the hour might pass from him. If it possible, Lord, let this pass from me. I know that's been a prayer in this room recently. Lord, I'd rather not deal with this. Lord, would you just let it pass from me? Verse 36 says, "Abba, Father." I want to highlight that. Jesus is the perfect son, so he teaches us how to be a perfect son. In hardship, you have to have the identity as an intimate son. Jesus cries out, Abba, Father. He didn't say Yahweh Sabaoth, Lord, commander of the Lord's armies. He didn't say the great I am. He didn't say El Shaddai. That's not what he ran to in the moments of his trial and hardship. He ran to the fact that God was his father and he was close to him. Abba, Father. Church, in hardship, never lose your identity that you can call the Lord Abba, Father. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter whether the problem was your fault or their fault or someone else. He's still your Abba, Father. Amen. Second thing. He says, everything is possible for you. He had the identity as a secure, intimate son. It was concrete in his heart and his mind that God was with him. The second thing is he knew the Lord's character. He knew the sovereignty of God in his circumstance. He knew that the Lord wasn't just close, but that he was all powerful. All things are possible for him, and he is sovereign in your life. Church, when we get a hold of that, when we get a hold of the fact that he is our Abba, Father, we get to walk in it. When we know the Lord's character, we know that he is sovereign in our lives and all powerful. We get to walk in it. And the third thing, this is where we need to be going. He says, yet not what I will, but what you will, Lord. Not my will, but your will. It's not about me, it's actually about you, Father. Abba, Father. Church, obey is that kind of son. Fix your eyes on the obedience to be had in producing fruit. That'll pull you out of the muck and the mire real quick. I'm a son, and the Lord is all powerful. So, Lord, help me to obey. What is the next thing that I need to do? What is the next person I need to focus on? Lord, what is the next great advancement of faith that I can endeavor on? Because I've got no reason to be ashamed.
Yeah.
I've got no reason. The army's bigger than me. That's okay. I've got problems I'm working through. That's all right. Because I am your son, you are my father, and you are all powerful. Church, Jesus displayed some Gethsemane grit in this moment. We need that Gethsemane kind of grit.
Yeah, we do.
That has a foundation in intimacy with the Father. The Gethsemane grit that knows the fact that the Lord is going to do it again and again and again. And it doesn't matter how many times you fall because you will stand back up because you're a son. Amen. Jesus displayed some Gethsemane grit. Walk in it, church. In this moment, I think it's an important note that Jesus was surrounded by something that I think helped him in this moment. He was surrounded by olive trees. And you guys know the teachings about the olive trees in the Word. Olive trees produce more fruit in harsher circumstances. In the flood in Noah's time, what was the leaf that the dove brought back? It was an olive leaf. The olive tree could be surrounded, engulfed in floodwaters, and 7 days later, produce some fruit. And it was the hope for Noah that salvation had come to the world. Church, Jesus was that olive tree. And you are that olive tree. You produce more fruit in hardship than you do when everything's okay. You can be alive and not only be alive, but thrive when you are in over your head in chaos. On that note, let's go to Psalm 116, starting in verse 12. Somebody say, walk in it when you get there.
While we're turning there, Psalm 92 that says, you are an olive tree planted in the house of God. And that passage in and of itself, the whole chapter moves me often. But an olive tree, like he said, flourishes in harsh, difficult circumstances. But the fact is that it's planted in the house of God so that you are not alone. When you're walking through these hardships, you are not alone. When you're standing in this house with brothers on your left and right, you are not alone. I was praying earlier today, and I'm like, Lord, what do you want them to get? More than that, God, what do you want? What do you want out of this body? What do you want them to know? And what he told me is, I want them to know that they are mine. I want them to know that they belong to me. I want them to know that they're not just any son. There are sons everywhere and there are fathers everywhere, but these people are mine.
Come on.
And so I want them to walk like me and look like me and speak like me because from the foundation of an identity that is planted deep down inside of them. Amen. So church, how now shall we live? Now that we've gotten to see Jesus stand in his identity as a son, suffer and then take that cup. Well, in Psalm 116, it says, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? And he has been very good. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. And I will fulfill the vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people. This must be our response, church. To repay the Lord for all of his goodness, we lift up the cup of salvation like Jesus did. The cup that the Lord's will was not one that was in service of Jesus, but it was to use Jesus' life in service of the people that are around you. Look around right now. Look to the left and to the right at the brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters that you see next to you. These are the people in who you are lifting up the cup of salvation for. And verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Come on. Church, when you feel like you're dying, it is precious to the Lord. He sees it. Because you're his son, he sees it. And it's precious to him. When you feel like you're dying, you can have the confidence to know that it's precious to him. Church, the Lord has been very kind to us. Amen. He has been so good to us. We get to lift up the cup of salvation like he did. Think about the Last Supper. That's what he did. He lifted up his cup of salvation and called on the name of the Lord to fulfill what he promised the Lord, which was to give the Lord his life in the presence of all of his people. Church, the reason why we need to be secure sons is so that we might obey and lift up that cup of salvation for the people on your left and right, and for the people in the world around you. Jesus didn't go through Gethsemane just to go through Gethsemane. You don't go through hardship just to go through hardship. You go through hardship to be made into something, to do something for God. That's the point. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Let's go to Philippians 2. To expound on this a little bit further.
Verses 5 through 11. It says, your attitude, LCM, should be the same of that of Christ as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. It's saying here that Jesus knew who he was. He knew his identity. He knew he was a son, and in knowing that, it caused him to pour out his own life on other people. It said, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. What a son who is confident and secure in his identity does is pour his life out and become obedient to death like Jesus. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. It says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place.
Come on.
And he gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, in your death, and your life being poured out like a drink offering, well, he exalts you. Let us walk in the same attitude that Christ had. Our life in exchange for theirs. I'm reminded of a video that the pastor shared with all of us about Jackie Pullinger, spoken by Jackie Pullinger, and she said that the gospel has always been death to the giver and life to the receiver. This is what our life must look like as we walk in the same attitude as Christ Jesus.
Are you guys getting the importance of walking as a secure son? Are y'all getting the importance of walking in everything that God is? We've got one final verse for you. It's going to be Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1. And tune in. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us.
Come on.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and scorned its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Church, at the end of your endurance, you will join the cloud because you have thrown off everything that hinders. You have thrown off the sin that so easily entangles. You have thrown off those illegitimate thoughts and you've crossed every one of those names off of your hit list. You get to run with perseverance the race that is marked out for you by him. He's got works prepared in advance for you to do. Run with perseverance tonight, church. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the perfect son, the displayer of Gethsemane grit, and walk in it. Fix your eyes on the author, the one who delivered you from Egypt, and the perfecter, the one who helps you against the mighty. Endure your cross. And not just endure your cross, scorn its shame. For the joy that is set before you, because God is displaying his glory and revealing his glory inside of you tonight. This season is not a shameful one. This season is one of great glory. When your perseverance has ended, you too will sit at his right hand. Don't lose sight of the end goal. Thank you, Lord. After all of the fighting, after all of the disciples that have been raised up, the sons, the daughters, you will rest from your labor and sit at the right hand of the throne of God. So persevere well. Walk in it. When you go out with a blaze of glory. Go out the most in love with Jesus than you've ever been. The most secure son that you've ever been. When your perseverance is ended, you will sit at his right hand. And consider him who endured such opposition as you're enduring. And do not grow weary or lose heart, for you will reap a harvest if you do not give up.
Gabe, say that one more time.
You will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Do not grow weary in your fighting. Because it is God ordained. Do not be surprised. Do not lose heart. Because Jesus went through the same things and he set the example of what it means to walk in this way of life. Worship team, you can come up here. And church, you can stand to your feet. Church, tonight, we have one goal in this second part of the service. This one goal tonight, we want you to draw near to him and draw near to him with the heart that says, Abba, Father. Everything that Jesus went through, it started with the foundation of a secure sonship that could not be shaken because everything else had already been shaken. He has offered a new and living way that you might approach with freedom and confidence. That was in the word that was given to us in the first worship set. How good is the Lord that he is drawing us close. So this time at the altar is not one to mourn over everything that you did not do right. This time at the altar is a time to come and get ministered to by the Lord himself, by your Abba Father. That he might secure you, that you might stand up and walk in everything that he's called you to do in an unashamed manner. You can exemplify that Gethsemane grit that he showed. Church, remember his sovereignty. Remember his intimacy. And make up your mind to walk for his ways. Lord, not my will. Lord, but your will be done. Lord, you are just and true in everything you do. I am what you say that I am. By the grace of God, I am what you've made me to be. So Lord, help me to do the things that you've made me to do. Church, as we pray, come and get ministered to by the Lord your God.
Mighty God, we call out to you. We cry out to the holy, the one who is holy and makes men holy. The one who is not ashamed to call us sons and daughters. The ones who's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Father, we lift our face to you that you might take away any sort of shame or illegitimate thinking that's inside of our own hearts. That we might be men that stand with confidence, with faces that are radiant because we know to whom we belong. We know the God who has called us sons and is leading us and fighting for us, God. Move inside of the hearts and the minds of your people that they would know who they are and know what they need to do, God. Lord, we call out to you that men would stand up, men and women in this room would stand up with the confidence of the word that you have given them, that which cannot be shaken inside of their own hearts, and do what you have called them to be and be the victorious church of the living God. We thank you, King Jesus. It's in the name of your Son that we pray.